Back with Congressman Christopher Murphy of Connecticut's 5th District in the Congressional Corner. I'm David Gustina, filling in for Alan Chartok, and an honor to do so. Congressman Murphy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We're moving to the big news, which if anybody has not heard, and I can't imagine anyone in this listening area that listens to this radio station hasn't, the Supreme Court ruling on health care, and specifically, of course, Justice John Roberts, the key swing there, and I'm wondering what your reaction is.
Well, I'm pleased. I never understood why this law would be viewed as unconstitutional. I clearly thought that it was constitutional under the Commerce Clause, or I would have never voted for it in the first place. And, you know, as disappointed as I am that there were five justices that ruled that it was not constitutional under the Commerce Clause, I'm glad that it was found constitutional under other powers within the Constitution. You know, the fact is that you know, this is a piece of legislation that is helping millions of people already today, young people who can stay on their parents' health care, seniors who are paying half as much for drugs in the Medicare donut hole, Medicare recipients who aren't having to pay for preventative care. And as more people see the benefits of the bill, more people will support it. I'm really glad that the Supreme Court did the right thing, even in a close majority, in upholding its constitutionality. I think it would have been an absolute disaster had they struck it down. I think it would have been an admission that the court had become a purely political entity, and it would have really, you know, sent healthcare backwards for millions of Americans.
Specifically with Justice Roberts, we're hearing a lot of talk back since the decision about what his motivation might have been. And in fact, CBS is reporting that he changed his mind before making the final decision, whether that matters or not. I'm wondering what you think about why he made the decision he made. Some have said because he wanted to maintain integrity of the court. Many on the left have said that. Where do you come down on why he might have done that?
I don't come down on it. I mean, I can't imagine how anybody thinks that they can get into the head of Justice Roberts or anybody else on that court. It's just parlor games. You know, it's an interesting thing to talk about, but you know, ultimately only the justices themselves know why they make the decisions they make. I hope they make up their minds because of the law. You know, that's for them to know and for, you know, us to surmise.
When you said parlor games, it made me think of, you know, now we go forward. We've got a presidential election that's on. We've got Mitt Romney, of course, a former governor of Massachusetts, who has been battling over his creation of a state, you know, health care for all in Massachusetts, and sort of taking the opposing side for the president's health care plan. But I'm wondering, as we go forward, how you see these parlor games playing out in the presidential election. Will each side try to use the decision to their advantage?
You know, I think it's really too early to understand the political implications of it. I mean, to me, the implications are that it preserves better health care for my constituents. I mean, this is, you know, I know it's tempting to sort of focus on the politics of a decision like this, but this isn't political to, you know, the families in my district who can't get health care because they've got a child who's sick. It's not about politics for senior citizens who are going bankrupt because of their drug costs. So, you know, I really, you know, I know it's sometimes hard for people to believe this about people in public life or political life, but this decision was never about politics for me. I mean, this was always a matter of doing what I thought was right for people, and I'm just thrilled that the Supreme Court decided to allow it to go into effect so that it can help millions more people who want a fair shake when dealing with insurance companies and want a, you know, chance to be healthy in life.
Yes, in fairness to you, I did ask the political question, and I was interested in your response, quite
no,
frankly.
And listen, I get it. I mean, I just don't know what I just have not sat around for the last month thinking about the politics of this. I mean, I guess my first instinct is to say that it's probably pretty muddled, given the fact that you know, Governor Romney supported the exact same law as governor of Massachusetts that the president supported. In fact, had Governor Romney not passed it in Massachusetts, we probably wouldn't have passed it at the federal level. So, you know, I think that's also part of the issue here is that, you know, there's no clear way to understand the politics of it because, you know, you have two presidential candidates that, despite Romney's protestations, you know, are very clearly in agreement with respect to what they believe is the right thing to do in healthcare reform.
Let's try it from a different angle then. One of the major criticisms from many about the healthcare laws, it's hard to understand, that it's complicated. And you mentioned that all of that your constituents care about is what are they going to get? What healthcare benefits will they receive? Do legislators like yourself need to be better at communicating what's in this plan so that folks in your state and around the country understand it better and can make a more accurate decision on how they feel about it?
You know, I remember, I think it's a great question. I remember one of my initial conversations as we were debating the bill. I was door knocking in Torrington, Connecticut in 2009. And as my constituents know, I'm out there door knocking, whether it's an election year or not. And I ran into a guy who, you know, just was so eager to talk to me. You know, he ran up to me and said, you know, I hate this Obamacare. I hope you vote against it. It's a disaster for the country. It's socialism. And so I said, okay, let's set Obamacare aside. Let's throw that out. We're not going to do that. Let me throw some other ideas at you instead. Why don't we give you a tax cut? And in exchange for that tax cut, you go buy private health care with that money that you save. How about we allow small businesses to pool together to get lower rates from insurance companies? How about we tell these insurance companies that they shouldn't be charging more money for sick kids and people who have cancer and pre-existing conditions? How about we start paying for health care based on the quality of the healthcare that's provided by a hospital rather than just the volume of services that they provide? And, you know, this guy said, well, that all sounds great. We should do that instead of Obamacare. And, of course, the answer is that's Obamacare. That's the healthcare reform law. As much as the Republicans have tried to paint it as socialism or a government takeover of healthcare, it is a set of individual changes to the healthcare insurance market that virtually everyone supports on their own. Just when they came together, they got convinced that it was something other than what it was. So the short answer is we've got to do a better job of explaining it to people, because when we explain it to people, even some of the most ardent opponents, we get converts.
And on the other side of it, why do you think the conservative side has been so successful in painting it in such a dire way?
Well, I think it's simple. I mean, you mentioned that the bill is complicated, and I think any time that you have on your side a complicated truth, and your opponents on the other side have a simple lie, you lose. If we were willing to lie about the bill and claim that it cured cancer or that it was going to immediately reduce people's health care costs by 75%, then I think probably we could have won the debate. But we weren't willing to lie about it. We talked about the fact that solving health care reform is complicated, and there isn't one silver bullet. And the Republicans, I have to say, they did lie about it. They went out there and said that it was socialized medicine, that it was a government takeover, that there were death panels in the bill. None of that was true. But when you say those simple fabrications, people, you know, over time, when they are repeated, tend to believe them.
We've been talking with Congressman Christopher Murphy. He is from Connecticut's 5th District, and he's been joining us on the Congressional Corner. Congressman Murphy, thanks as usual for joining us, and I think I'll ask you about a special visitor to town meeting when we meet again next. Will you come back?
Sounds great.